As I mentioned, we're going to be opening up and sharing a little bit more about the vision that the Lord has laid on our hearts. And I've entitled the message this morning, Intentionally Building Relationships on Purpose. Intentionally. Now, this may sound redundant, and I get that. But the Apostle Paul used redundancy often to get a point across. But in actuality, it's not redundant in the way that I'm trying to express it. Being intentional means we're building a relationship deliberately. We decide we're going to do it. We make plans and we put those plans into actions and we actually do it. Building a relationship on purpose means there's a purpose behind what we are doing. Our purpose can vary even within the vision that we're going to be opening up here this morning. But the overarching purpose is to accomplish God's will. Therefore, we are on purpose. We are on task. God always has a purpose for everything he does. He is never purposeless in what he does. So intentionally building relationships on purpose. Another way of saying that would be that we are deliberately building relationships to do God's will. Now, everything we do in our lives as believers revolves around relationships. We say that Christianity is not a religion, it's a what? A relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are to build and have ongoing relationships with one another. Our passage in Acts that we just read talked about that. They're constantly getting together and encouraging one another, and their numbers are being added to. And if we are going to be effective in reaching out to others for Christ, we also have to be building relationships with people on the outside as well. As we begin talking about the vision here that God has laid on the hearts, on our hearts for Sile Community, we need to remind ourselves that we were created for Christ, or by Christ, and for Christ, not for ourselves. The vision verse that we as your elder board focus on for our vision is a verse that we've studied previously and one that was read this morning as well. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are created to do his will. So, what has he prepared in advance for us to do? Well, he's prepared good works for each one of us individually to do, but he's also prepared something for us as a body of believers, as a church, as Sile Community Church, to do as well. So, what is that? What is our purpose as a church? Well, very succinctly, our purpose is this. We exist to fulfill the Great Commission and to follow the Great Commandment as people called and sent by God to participate in his his mission for the world. That's our purpose for Sile Community Church. Now let's break that down a little bit. First of all, we exist to fulfill the Great Commission. Now most of us are very aware of what the Great Commission is in Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." We are to go, making disciples as we go, in God's power and with his message. We must be committed. We must be committed to conversion growth. Conversion growth puts a responsibility on us to be reaching out and touching people for Christ, showing them the love of Christ, drawing people to Christ where they can make a decision for the first time for Christ. The assumption of this verse for the Great Commission is that we will be leading people to Christ with his message. If we don't lead anyone to Christ, we won't have anybody to disciple. And God's commission to us is go make disciples. So we've got to bring them to Christ in the first place. Holy Spirit's got to transform that heart. And then we have to continue in the discipleship process. Another way of saying that is in your going, as you go, whenever you go, wherever you go, as often as you go, however you go, for whatever reasons you go, no matter with whom you go, make disciples. Make disciples. Now, the second part of our purpose is that we exist to follow the great commandment. In Matthew chapter 22, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Loving the Lord like that is called submission. All of our heart, soul, and mind. And the outflow of our love for the Lord will be loving our neighbor. It's automatic. It'll happen. It's a command. That's why it's a great command. It's a command. We have no choice. So we exist to follow the great commandment. Thirdly, we exist as people called and sent by God. In John chapter 15, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will last. We have been appointed. That's what the Great Commission is all about. The only way the fruit is going to last is if we disciple people that have come to the Lord. God has chosen us here at Sile Community Church to bear fruit. And fourthly, we exist to participate in His mission for the world. We exist to participate in His mission for the world. Mission is not the invention, responsibility, or program of a church. Instead, it flows directly from the character and purposes of a missionary God. God is a missionary God. Alan Hirsch, in the book Missional Essentials, which I've mentioned a couple times, says this, it is not so much that God has a mission for His church in the world, but that God has a church for His mission in the world. It's not so much that God has a mission for His church in the world, but that God has a church for His mission in the world. We in the church often wrongly assume, I believe, that the primary activity of God is in the church, rather than recognizing that God's primary activity is outside in the world. And the church is God's instrument sent into the world to participate in His redemptive mission. Instead of thinking of the church as an entity that simply sends missionaries, in Christian Missionary Alliance, that's what we do, right? We send missionaries. We need to instead view the church as the missionary. We are the sent out ones. Historically, the church has focused almost exclusively on the idea of sending rather than being sent out ourselves. God is sending us, all of us, out into the world around us. When we, the church, begin to define ourselves as an agent of God's mission, we will begin to organize every activity of the church around the mission of God. Again, from the book Missional Essentials, I quote this, the church still gathers together, lest we think that that's not necessary anymore. The church still gathers together, but the difference is that we don't gather for our own sake, but instead for the sake of others, or better yet, for the sake of God's mission. We come together as a collective body of believers to be equipped through prayer, worship, and study in order to be sent out into the world. The church is to be a gathered and scattered church. We're here one day of the week, 6 days of the week, we're out in the world. We need to be coming in here, gaining that strength, gaining the encouragement, gaining knowledge, gaining wisdom, to be able to use that then and go back out into the world for the rest of the week. Now, with that in mind, who are we as a church in Jesus Christ? These next 5 points are who we need to be, or perhaps who we need to become, as some of it is, it's a continual process as we become closer and closer to God's ideal. First of all, we are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are part of the body, a community of loving, forgiving, and caring believers. Thirdly, we are committed to lives of corporate and personal prayer. Fourthly, we are dependent on the Word of God for our spiritual formation as the only relevant and practical guide for life. And fifthly, we are engaged in outreach ministries both here and throughout the world. Now, as I said, that is the ideal. That's who we want to be. And some of us may be closer to that than others. God is working in each one of our lives in different ways. But together we are aiming at becoming that because this is what God wants us to be. So how do we do that? We've laid out 5 objectives. 5 objectives of how to become who God wants us to be and how to do what God wants us to do. Our first objective is to become submitted to God. To search our hearts and become broken before God, leading to love and obedience of Him. Number 1 objective. And this is the inward focus of our vision, the inward focus. Our first priority must be to build our relationship with Christ. We must deliberately build our relationship with Christ with the purpose of drawing near to Him, to love Him more, to be obedient to Him. We're going to be continuing to emphasize that in our preaching. I've been doing that already, the life of submission to Christ. We want to have that as an emphasis in our spiritual growth classes on Sunday mornings as well as our life groups during the week. We want to develop our own personal devotional times with the Lord. We're going to be talking about that more in our 3rd objective. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." What a promise. But there are expectations on God's part for us. We have a responsibility to work on our relationship with Christ. It's a discipline that we have to practice. This must be our number 1 objective. Our number 1 priority in our life individually and our life as a church. If we achieve this objective, all the rest will just fall together. Everything hinges on this objective. Our first statement of who we are was we are submitting to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's an ongoing process. In Psalm chapter 51, it says, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." Romans 12:1. "Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Be submitted to the Lord. Our 2nd objective is to build fellowship one with the other and bring restoration. This is the sideward focus of our vision. It's another aspect of intentionally building relationships on purpose. We must build relationships with people from within the church with the purpose of getting to know them and to love them, to build each other up, to pray for one another. You say, Pastor, we already know each other. We've been here all together for years. Do you really know each other? What's been going on for the past 5 years? It takes work. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes making plans. It takes rearranging schedules, which we hate doing that. You can ask my wife about me. I hate rearranging my own schedules. But that's why we need to be intentionally purposeful. There are people, I believe, in our church that are hurting and longing for friendship, a deeper friendship. Look around among yourselves. Who do you know really well? When was the last time that we invited somebody over just to get to know them better? To find out in the last few years, what's been going on in your life? How can I pray for you? How can I be an encouragement to you? Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25 says, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, oftentimes we use that verse to say, we've got to keep coming on Sunday morning, which is important, we do. But I don't think the writer of Hebrews was focusing on Sunday morning services only. There's too much happening on Sunday mornings. A lot of our conversations are peripheral or surface kind of conversations that we have on Sunday mornings. How can we spur one another on toward love and good deeds if we're not meeting with one another outside of Sunday morning church service for that deeper and more meaningful conversation? So how do we do that? Well, Scripture has a number of ways. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Love each other deeply." Above all, it says, "Love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins." He said, love each other deeply. Do you love each other deeply? You need to think about that. Rather than say, "Oh yeah, of course we do. We're all believers in Christ." Love each other deeply. Secondly, offer hospitality to one another. 1 Peter 4:9 says, "Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling." Thirdly, reach out to hurting people and families with the love of Christ. Restoring broken relationships. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Do we have grievances one with another? Are there any grievances? You know, the Lord knows. We need to search our hearts. And if there's a grievance, it's grieving the Holy Spirit. God said we need to forgive. Let it go. Jesus was teaching about the Lord's Prayer. He says, if you don't forgive, the Father in heaven can't forgive you. We need to forgive. We need to let it go. Fourthly, reach out to hurting people and families with love, with the love of Christ. 1 John 4:27, 21 says, "Whoever loves God must also love his brother." There's the upward and or the inward with God, and the sideward with our brother and sister in Christ. Romans 12:13, "Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Galatians 6:1-2, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." How are we going to know the burdens that we have unless we are talking with each other and making that time to get into deeper conversations? Hebrews 10:25, "Let us not give up meeting together." We've already mentioned that, but let us encourage one another. Just being called up and said, "Hey, can we get together for coffee?" What an encouragement that is. Just by the invitation. And sitting down and doing that. We encourage each other. I didn't find a verse for this one, but do friend things. Just do friend things. Go out to lunch together after lunch. After a service on Sunday. Go Dutch. Doesn't matter. Don't feel like I can't afford, you know, two families or whatever. Go Dutch. Not a problem. The point is, do something together. Get to know each other better. Invite people to your home for an evening of games and dessert. Simple thing. We forget some of those things. When you go to a park or summer festival, there's apparently a slew of those going to be happening here in the Michigan area over the summer here. If you and your family or you as a couple are going to be going to something, think of somebody in the church that you haven't really had a lot of contact with. Hey, you want to go with us? We're going here. Simple. Go shopping together. Or window shopping if you don't want to buy anything. It's not the buying that counts. It's the being together and sharing that time together to be able to open up those conversations. Men, I don't know. Do guy things together. Find a project. Work on something. My wife, our son was very young, he was always a mommy's boy, and she said to me, "Ted, go do man things with him." It's a time of camaraderie. It's a time of fun. We can laugh and enjoy and get something done and feel good. And at the same time, conversations can start happening because we get to know each other better. The idea is to spend time with each other. It's fun. It builds relationships and opens up opportunities for those meaningful conversations. As a community, we can organize community building fellowship kind of activities. Maybe have a movie night. Maybe we can set up a volleyball net out here and invite friends and come and let's just have a good time playing volleyball. It doesn't have to be anything spiritual about it. We just have a fun, good time together. As we do those things, we'll be able to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Our third objective is to develop a life of personal and corporate prayer. This is the upward focus of our vision. Again, this is part of intentionally building our relationship with the Lord on purpose. We need to be deliberate about building our relationship with the Lord through prayer, with the purpose of seeking God's will and seeing God to move in our lives and in our church as we lift up the needs and as we ask the Holy Spirit to change and transform and move and direct. This is also one of the core values of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. Proverbs 15:8 says, "The prayer of the upright pleases the Lord." Proverbs 15:29, "The Lord hears the prayer of the righteous." Isaiah 56:7, "My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Acts 1:14, they all join together constantly in prayer. Colossians 4:2, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are attentive to their prayers." Get the idea? We need to be praying. We need to be gathering together. We're going to continue emphasizing this in our services, in our teachings, to develop that personal and corporate prayer life. We need to have that personal time with the Lord ourselves individually at home. But we also need to gather together as groups and pray for the church. We need to model this, I believe, in our life groups and in our spiritual growth classes. We need to be praying corporately. Corporately means more than praying for the illnesses of people. I'm not putting that aside as not important, but I think oftentimes we end up praying for those kind of things and we forget to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move among us. That's another core value of the Alliance. Without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish nothing. We as a people of God need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to move in us. We need to pray that the Lord will soften the hearts and open the eyes of our neighbors as we build relationships with them. We need to pray against the attacks of the enemy as he tries to dissuade us from being obedient to the Lord, because he will. He doesn't want us to pray because he knows that there is power in prayer. He will try to discourage us at every level. We need to pray for opportunities to reach out into the community of Sio and to be a light in the darkness. We need to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would so fall upon us that it would shake us to our core. We need to pray for God's wisdom and courage as we step out in obedience to accomplish His will for Sio. This is what I'm talking about when I'm talking about corporate prayer, gathering together and praying that God would move in a new way among us. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Our fourth objective is to grow spiritually and develop in discipleship. This is our onward focus of our mission as we move forward. We can never remain static, always moving, empowered by the Holy Spirit. We use the example the other Sunday of the Holy Spirit like filling the sail of a sailboat and moving the boat along. The Holy Spirit wants to move us along. This should be the focus and goal and vision of our spiritual growth classes as well as our life groups, asking for the moving of the Holy Spirit. We want to emphasize love for God, which manifests itself in obedience and total submission. 1 John 5:3 says, this is love for God, to obey His commands. Secondly, we want to develop committed Christian disciples at every age level and train them for ministry. You know, I was just at the Washtenaw Christian Academy, right? Yes, on Friday, and sharing their chapel service there. And it's kind of neat because in the beginning they have special prizes that they give out to different kids about what they've been doing. And simple things, you know, so-and-so helped somebody else. This child did this, and they would call their name up and give out a prize. They'd come up and shake their hand and make a big deal of it. So when I say that we want to develop the committed Christian disciples at every age level, we can do that at our youngest age. Show them what it means to serve. Show them what it means to love as Jesus loved. Show them how to show Christ. We need to help people know where their spiritual gifts lay and empower them to use those spiritual gifts for ministry. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gifts he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. The Holy Spirit has gifted us. He expects us to use that. Thirdly, we want to emphasize the importance of baptism. We've already done that. We're going to continue to do that. It is absolutely important. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. We postponed our baptismal service. We had some issues here with the baptismal and different things going on. End of June, we're looking at having a baptismal service. We've got 3 or 4 people that have mentioned that they would like to be baptized. If that's on your heart, come and talk to me. Love to have you go through that step of obedience to the Lord. We want to continue to develop more life groups, Bible study, prayer, fellowship, life groups that will be easy access for people as we're building relationships with people outside. Say, come on over to our house. We're having a Bible study and we have some desserts and some fun time together. Easy way to start bringing people into the body of Christ before we say, hey, come to church. Church is often a scary place for people. But we want to develop our life groups in this way. We want to emphasize the importance of Christian growth classes on Sunday mornings. We want to continually evaluate our classes that we teach to keep them vision-focused. Everything that we want to do here at SIL, we want to make sure that it's centered and focused within the vision. There's lots to do, but what's the vision that God has given us, and how do those things fit in? In the fall, we're going to be having 2 classes. One is on missional essentials, which I've been talking to you about different times. The other one is called evangelism without additives, and I'm going to share about that a little bit in the next objectives that I share, evangelism without additives. But we want to develop and expand our Christian growth classes. We want to continue to develop our children's ministry. Now, I know we've got one child, and it's tough to develop when you got one child in class. But Jesus, it was so important to him. His disciples said, get away, kids. Jesus is too important for you. And he said, no, let them come. He loves the little children. We want to develop it, and as people come in, they'll be able to send their kids to our classes. And even if it's just one and two, there's going to be something different about that class. And they're going to want their kids to be a part of that. There's more that we can do with our youth ministry. We want to develop the youth ministry as well, but we need buy-in from our parents. We need buy-in from our young people to really make that happen. Again, another way that we can reach out and touch people, friends, and others that can come in and be a part of what God is doing here. Our men's and women's ministries, much room to be developed in those areas as well. There's a lot of stuff that we can be doing. Our fifth objective is to have an active passion for reaching those both in our community and around the world. An active passion for reaching those both in our community and around the world. This is our outward focus of our vision. This is a huge part of intentionally building relationships on purpose. Remember, God's primary activity is in the world, and we need to be a part of that. This, folks, is God's heart. This is God's heart, and we need to make this a heart of our church. But it may be one of the most difficult areas of the vision to accomplish. Why? Because it makes us step out of our comfort zones. It messes with our schedules. It means we have to perhaps reprioritize our activities, personally and perhaps even church activities. Let's talk about missions first. Matthew 24:14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." This gospel will be preached. God's work is going on out there. We need to be a part of that. It's God's heart. And if we want God to bless Sile Community Church, and I believe this firmly, we need to play an active part in what he's doing around the world. We're going to be continuing to emphasize that in our teaching and our preaching and the reality of the lostness of man without Christ. This too is one of the core values of the Christian Missionary Alliance. Lost people matter to God. He wants them found. We need to be a part of that. And we're going to continue emphasizing the Alliance missions around the world. We've got a great magazine called Alliance Life. Most of us see that sitting on the back and walk past it. The EPA, the Evangelical Press Association, awarded the Alliance Life winner of the 2018 Award of Excellence. Good magazine. Let you know what's going on around the world in the Alliance world. Gives you areas to pray. It talks about what's going on in the Alliance here in the States. Theological studies, Bible studies, all kinds of stuff. And it's free. It's a free subscription. AllianceLife.org. Go there. Find this in the back. I'd strongly encourage you to subscribe to the Alliance Life. Be a part of what God's doing in the world. We're going to continue with our mission moments just to keep the missions, what our international workers are doing in front of us. We want to continue to emphasize our Great Commission Fund. That is the only way that our international workers can get the work done that God has called them to do if we give, and if we give sacrificially, over and above our regular tithe. We want to be praying for our international workers. Again, Alliance Life gives you ideas where you can go to do that. CM Alliance, CMA Alliance, dot org. You can find those kind of prayer requests there as well. They send out a monthly prayer list for our international workers. We need to be praying more for the work that God is doing. They need that prayer. We have a 4-day missions conference coming up in November. We've got an international worker from a creative access country. Don't know the country yet. But he's coming to share with us 4 days, and we're going to be planning that the activities. And I would want us to even now be thinking, okay, I'm going to set aside that time in November, and I'm going to plan on being to as many of those activities as possible to be able to hear what God's doing and be a part of that ministry and be able to pray more wisely about that ministry. We need to encourage our young people to be praying and saying, God, do you want me to go? Scary prayer. God, do you want me to? It's a scary prayer for parents to have their children praying that way. Or the parents saying, God, do you want my child to go? But what a blessing it is when God says, yes, I know exactly what I can do with him. I know exactly what I can do with her. I've gifted them for this. We need to be encouraging our young people. We need to be praying, giving, going. That's where God's heart is. The second aspect of this objective is that we want to be a church that reaches out into our own community. Again, this is part of the outward focus of our mission. It's outward because it's about people who are not here, in here yet. They're on the outside. This includes the unbelieving. It includes the unchurched. It includes the de-churched, which means people have been to church and they're not going to church anymore. And the under-churched, ones that attend Christmas and Easter. We need to be focused on where God leads us in that aspect. We need to prioritize our activities and ministries that reach out to new people, touching them where they work, where they play, where they live. And it must become a matter of priority for us. Intentionally building relationships on purpose. Mark 5:19 says, go home to your family. He was talking about the man who had been demon-possessed, and he cast out the demons and healed him from that. And he said, go home and tell your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Oftentimes we focus on telling other people what the Lord can do for them. He's saying, just tell them what the Lord's done for you. The transformation that's changed in your own life, let them see, let them get excited about something different. And how he has had mercy on you. We need to deliberately meet new people with the intention of being their friend. Being friendly on Sunday morning is different from being a friend. Would you agree with that? Being a friend is all about getting close enough to people to listen, to understand their hopes and their dreams, and actually come to like and love them as individuals and be concerned about them. How do we know when we become friends with someone? Well, someone once says, when another person invites you to meet their friends, you've got into a deeper relationship with them. You know, since I've been here, I've heard the term family being used as to describe our church. It's a good term. I mean, after all, we are a part of the family of God. But there can be dangers in considering ourselves a family unto ourselves. Family can be very insular. Family can mean we grow accustomed to each other. Family can mean that we take each other for granted. I've known them for 20 years. Family can mean that the only growth is from within, actual birth of babies. Family can mean that it's very hard for someone from the outside to feel a part of that family. If we're going to consider ourselves a family, we must become an adopting family. A family who adopts. That's God's model, isn't it? We've all been adopted by God into his family. And as we reach out to new people, as people come in to visit us here, we need to adopt them. When we adopt a family, a child in the family, we haven't done it personally, but I can only imagine, and talking with others, we take extra care. We take extra time with them. We show extra love for them to make sure that they feel a part of the family, that they know that they are loved, that they know that they are part of this family. Have we done that with new people that come to church? Consider taking them out to lunch if they're a guest. Give them a call during the week. And a lot of them will expect a call from the pastor. Oh, that's what pastors do. But are totally floored when somebody from the congregation gives them a call. Calls them by name. Perhaps you can find a time to get together with them and just to get to know them. Yeah, it takes effort. It takes time. But little things like that can make a huge difference in people's lives. Oftentimes when people come to church for the first time, they're looking for new friendships. They're looking for Christian friendships. And if we are not going to be their friends, they'll look somewhere else. It's happened. We're going to be encouraging you to proactively establish relationships with those outside the church. We need to be intentional. We need to make the time on purpose with a long-range goal of introducing them to Jesus Christ. So many of them are lost and going to hell. Do we have compassion for them? Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Seeking means we must go out looking. We're not going to find the lost in here for the most part. Jesus says, "Go and make disciples." Jesus sent his disciples out two by two. Jesus went from town to town preaching the kingdom of God. We can't sit here and expect people to come to us. We need to go out. How do we do that? Well, we're going to be introducing some outreach training. It's part of our equipping purpose. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Be prepared to give an answer. Part of our responsibility as spiritual leaders of the church is to equip the church for ministry. In September, we're going to be teaching evangelism without additives. The subtitle is, "What if sharing your faith meant just being yourself?" The term evangelism is scary because we've got all kinds of preconceptions of what evangelism is all about. Let me read just a couple of excerpts here from the book, from the beginning of the book. Evangelism isn't normal. It's a program, a presentation, a memorized script. Let's face it, traditional evangelism is simply too hard for normal Christians. It's really designed for extroverts, those with a gift of evangelism, and the few who were created to be salespeople. That leaves us ordinary types out of the game. He goes on to say, connecting with the people Jesus misses most, those formerly known as lost, is really not complicated. It's not even threatening. You can do it without having to memorize anything, without following a script, and without writing down a carefully prepared speech. It involves being yourself and focusing on others, building relationships. It's based on everyday things such as asking questions, listening, giving away your attention, and praying behind people's backs. Fascinating. We took this through, took our people in our church in Rochester through it, and they're like, "Wow, I can do this. This is easy." As we shared that with our people there in Rochester, I realized if I, the pastor, am telling the congregation they've got to do this, oh my, that means I should be doing this as well. And so I focused on our next door neighbors, Rick and Sandy. It was a pastor's parsonage, so they had been living next to the pastor for 20 years, more. So they knew I was a pastor, they knew what church I was a pastor of, and I went over and I greeted Rick, and immediately I saw on his finger he had one of these big old Freemason rings. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be tough. I found out he was a 30 or 32nd degree Mason. He's been a Mason for a long time. If you do some research on Masons, there's some weird cultic things that go on among the Masons. Tough group of people to try to share Christ with. And so I just started becoming a friend. I'd go over. He loved grilling. And I'd come home and he'd have his grill out there in front of his garage and we'd talk about steaks and what the best steaks were and how to do it best. And he loved gardening and we'd talk about the gardening and we'd talk about the trees and the bushes. He'd take me around the tour of the backyard. We'd talk about hunting. He loved hunting and skeet shooting and we ended up going skeet shooting a couple of times. I think I might have nicked one once. But I went out skeet shooting. Everything and nothing sometimes. We just hung out. I didn't talk about church. I didn't talk about Christ. I never once invited him to church. I was going to be his friend. And he knew that as we were talking, he knew that we had come from Africa. And so we were in this little township, like a township of Sile. It doesn't have its own address. We were in a township of Greece, which didn't have its own address there, north part of Rochester. And he looked at me and says, so why Greece? I said, I have no idea. I said, God's called me for a purpose. And so I'm here. Looking back, he might have been that purpose. And one person is enough for God to call us and do something. But we continued talking about all kinds. And I would share with him about the Africans and the fact that they're spirit worshipers and they're scared to death about, you know, because they got witch doctors and they cast spells on each other and they're fearful. And so they would try to appease their spirits by giving money and buying these fetishes and things of that sort. But when they met Jesus Christ, they were free from that. They're liberated and they're no longer scared that they could have the victory and live a life of peace and joy. And he was fascinated. We'd go out on day trips. He'd say, what are you doing Saturday? Oh, nothing much. It's Sandy and I want to take you guys. We're going to drive around the country and we'll go out to lunch or something. Okay, that sounds good. We'd do those kind of things. One day the former pastor came back to visit. His son and daughter-in-law were still in the church. I said, hey, Rick, Pastor Dave is going to be here on Sunday. So you'd like to know. Oh, well, maybe I'll come back to the church to say hi to him. Great, that'd be great. He came that Sunday, never left, kept coming back every single Sunday. I preached on baptism, similar to what I did here. He's from a Catholic background. He had been sprinkled as a baby. And we were out on one of these day trips, and he said, lunchtime, he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He says, well, you know, I know this is your day off, and I don't know if you would, you know, want to be bothered with a question about church. 24/7, I love talking about this stuff. Not a problem. So he said, tell me a little bit more about this baptism thing. What's that all, really all about? And so I shared again about the fact that we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and from there, you know all that. Okay, and we finished our day trip, and a couple weeks later, he came up to me and said, I've been thinking, I think I'd like to be baptized. And part of me said, yes. And the other part of me said, oh my goodness, he's a Freemason. He's still very connected with this cultic stuff that goes on. And the Christian Missionary Alliance will not allow membership and baptism of somebody that's in a secret society kind of thing. And I thought, boy, what am I going to do now? I started praying. I didn't want to touch that Freemason thing with a 10-foot pole. I didn't want to blow our relationship. What am I going to say to him? And so I just prayed, and the Lord just put such a burden on my heart for Rick. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and I'd pray. And I'd pray, and I'd say, God, just make him more and more dissatisfied with the Masons. And more satisfied with your church. That was my prayer over and over again. We were oftentimes over their home in the evenings, have dinner, and sit around for hours just talking. One day he came to me and says, "You know, I was talking to Sandy, his wife, about being baptized, and she got a little upset at me and said, 'Rick, you're going out ahead of me. You need to wait for me. I'm not quite there yet. So I think I better hold off for the time being.' So part of me went, 'Okay, I can push that conversation off a little bit.' But I kept praying and praying and praying. One evening, they invited us over for steak. We always had steak. It's great. Got this big old smoker, boy. I tell you, it's good stuff. The evening we were there, and we walked in, and I noticed that his mason ring on his hand was not, on his finger was not there. It's interesting. But I thought, okay. So he washed his hands, took his ring off, just didn't put it on, you know. So we're in our conversation, and part of the way through the conversation, he put his hand up. He said, "See this?" I said, "Yeah, I noticed that. What happened?" He said, "You know, the more I've been going to those Mason meetings and stuff, the more dissatisfied I have become with them." I had a huge smile on my face. He says, "What?" I said, no, it's okay. He says, no. "Anything you want to say, tell me. Rick, you know what I've been praying for you? I've been praying that you would become more dissatisfied with the Masons and more satisfied with the church." And he looked at me and said, "Ted, you hit a home run." Friendships. Part of that friendship came before that took place. One of the days that we were out around his grill or in the garden or something, we were talking about stuff that's happening in Africa and how people's lives are being transformed. And he looked at me and said, "Ted, how does that happen? I've seen that happen in people's lives. How does that happen?" The door just opened wide. I didn't force it. I wasn't trying to say, "Rick, here are those four verses from Romans, the Roman road. You gotta understand." The Lord opened those doors, and I was able to share with him what needs to take place in his own heart. It takes time. It takes weeks, months. It takes being a friend. Folks, we need to become friends. Jesus was known as what? Friend of sinners. Are we that? Are we a friend of sinners? We need to be. Not to become like them, but to show Christ to them and allow them to become like us, transformed in Jesus Christ. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Let's bow our heads. Father, this morning, you've laid out a vision for us. Your heart is that we reach people. We've got to reach people. I pray that you would change our heart, change our mind. Let us understand what needs to be done, how you want us to do it. Open our eyes to our neighbors whom you are already at work in. Help us to reach out and begin building those relationships. And then ask you to open that door, that question that would come up that would lead us into responding. Father, do a new work in us. Transform our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.